Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, May the 11th, South Africa's ruling party wins national elections with a reduced majority. The Vatican invites Christians and Buddhists to promote the rights of women and girls. And Pope Francis invites young economists to reanimate the economy for global change. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. In Pakistan, a terror attack reportedly unfolded Saturday afternoon at the Pearl Continental Hotel in the port city of Gwadar in Balochistan province. Reports confirmed the presence of three suspected terrorists inside the hotel. An exchange of gunfire was reported between terrorists and security forces, and gunshots were also heard. The spokesperson of the Balochistan government said terrorists inside the hotel were heavily armed. He also said all people present have been evacuated safely. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa has led the African National Congress, the ANC, to victory in Wednesday's national election. However, a drop in its share of the vote underlines the challenge he faces restoring confidence in his party. With opponents in the ANC and an emboldened far-left opposition party, Ramaphosa may struggle to push through tough reforms. Father Peter John Pearson, director of the Catholic Bishops' Parliamentary Liaison Office in Cape Town, says he's hopeful the president will deliver on his promises.
Look, I think we are hoping that a renewed mandate for the president, who has shown good leadership in the past year that he's been in office, the continuing probes which have been very far-reaching into corruption, into state capture, into all the pathologies that have afflicted our country over the last 9 or 10 years, that those will be brought to the fore and that there will be the appropriate punishment for those who are guilty and so forth and so on. I think the country is hoping for that. It'll restore morale in the country. It'll restore economic confidence in the country. And that's pretty important. I think people are really hoping that a renewed mandate in different hands or in different leadership of the African National Congress will speak to some of the social deprivations. A quarter of a century, we know the figures so well: informal housing, increasing poverty, poor educational opportunities despite the biggest educational budget in Africa. So I think people are hoping for some kind of way out of the morass that goes beyond just rhetoric, that a program plan, and people have a confidence. The most important thing, I think, would be for the government that comes in to harness the kind of hope that exists and do something practical with it and implement it in ways that are a lot more far-reaching than the good rhetoric that has so often filled the political space.
Well, as Catholic Church that has been so prophetic in the past in South Africa, fighting apartheid and seeking justice, it seems to me that you still have a lot to do in a country that's described as the most unequal in the world. If you are given the space and the means to do so, how do you feel in your liaison parliamentary office? Do you feel empowered?
I think we do. I think we find space for and the respect for a culture of dialogue and for platforms that are able to do that is increasing again and being respected again. So the core work we do to bring people together to discuss policy options, to think of ways forward, to interrogate policies, that's having its own springtime again. And, you know, we participate in that fully.
And that was Father Peter John Pearson, director of the Catholic Bishops' Parliamentary Liaison Office in Cape Town. Yemen's Houthi rebels are preparing to withdraw from a key strategic port in the first major step since a ceasefire agreement signed in December. Both the Houthis and government forces agreed to withdraw from Hudaya port to allow in vital humanitarian aid. That process finally began today with signs that Houthi forces were pulling back. At least 6,800 civilians have died in Yemen's four-year civil war. The Vatican's Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue today released a message on the occasion of the solemn Buddhist festival of Vesak, which will be celebrated in most parts of the world on May the 19th. The message urges Buddhists and Christians to help uphold and promote the rights and dignity of women and girls. Robin Gomes reports.
Sometimes informally called Buddha's birthday, Vesak actually commemorates his birth, enlightenment and death and is celebrated on different days in different countries. Entitled Buddhists and Christians Promoting the Dignity and Equal Rights of Women and Girls, the Vatican message signed by the Secretary of the Pontifical Council, Bishop Miguel Angel Ayuso Guichot, is based on the document of Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together signed in Abu Dhabi on 4th February 2019 by Pope Francis and the Grand Imam Sheikh Ahmed Al Tayeb of Al-Azhar. Among several issues, the Abu Dhabi document includes an important call for people everywhere to promote the dignity of women and girls. The Vesak message laments that too often women experience discrimination and maltreatment, and sometimes religious interpretations depict women as inferior to men. Violence against women and young girls, it says, is a global problem affecting as much as a third of the world's female population and is particularly acute in situations of conflict, post-conflict and displacement. Among the ways to fight such injustices, the Vatican suggests that young women and girls be granted access to education, guaranteed equal pay for equal work, that they be ensured inheritance and property rights, that their underrepresentation in politics, government and decision-making be overcome, and that the issue of dowry be addressed. In the Abu Dhabi document, Pope Francis and the Grand Imam call for an end to all those inhuman and vulgar practices that denigrate the dignity of women and the modification of laws that prevent women from fully enjoying their rights. While calling on authorities, leaders and their followers to uphold the dignity of women and young girls, the Pontifical Council also urges the promotion and protection of the institution of marriage, motherhood and family life. I'm Robin Gomes.
Pope Francis today sent a letter to young economists and entrepreneurs worldwide who have been invited to participate in a conference entitled Economy of Francis, scheduled to take place in Assisi in March next year. I am writing, Pope Francis says in his letter, to invite you to take part in an initiative that is very close to my heart. An event, he says, that will allow me to meet young economists who are interested in a different kind of economy, one that brings life, not death, one that is inclusive and not exclusive, humane and not dehumanizing, one that cares for the environment and does not despoil it. Expressing his belief that there is a need to reanimate global economy, the Pope writes that, as emphasized in his encyclical Laudato Si, protection of the planet and social justice are profoundly interconnected, and solutions must be found to the structural problems of the economy. And it's widely acknowledged that climate change is one of the greatest threats to our common home and to some of the most vulnerable people of the planet. It's certainly the greatest threat to the traditional way of life across the Pacific region and the islands that make up Samoa, Cook Islands, Niue and Tokelau. UN resident coordinator Simona Marinescu told UN News it's vital to make sure funding continues to help mitigate the worst effects of global warming while also ensuring sustainability. Development.
The atolls are extremely exposed to climate change, and one last line of defense is the reef, and this is common to all of the islands in the Pacific. So the reef is practically breaking the power of the water to destroy the shores when such weather events take place. So the health of the reef is honestly a life-saving approach for those islands in the Pacific and for Tokelau in particular, so ensuring that the reef is alive, that there is biodiversity in the reef, is fundamental to the long survival of those nations. So we work a lot on with Global Environment Facility financing on the Reach to Reef, that's the title of our interventions, to again rebuild marine ecosystems and ensuring that they provide food to those nations, but they are also protecting those nations against global warming. The same applies to Samoa and to Niue and to Cook Islands. So that's an area in which we are heavily involved across UN agencies to ensure, again, that marine ecosystems are protected. So we ensure that parts of the year there is no fishing in those areas, and communities are very good in overseeing the marine ecosystem development, restoring, restoration, and the tourism is also protective of the marine ecosystem, as tourism is one of the sources of public revenues in those countries.
UN Resident Coordinator Simona Marinescu there speaking to UN News. And Pope Francis today met with members of an Italian sports organization celebrating its 75th anniversary. The Italian Sports Center is an umbrella association that groups all sorts of sports organizations, including parish and ecclesial sports groups from across the nation. In remarks to those present, the Pope said that sport was a school that teaches playing by the rules and respect. Lydia O'Kane reports.
Greeting the 400 members in the Clementine Hall on Saturday, which included young people and coaches, Pope Francis noted how the Italian Sports Centre offered young people through sport a healthy and positive lifestyle based on the Christian vision of the person and society. Sport, in fact, he said, is a great school provided that you live it with self-control and respect for others.
Lo sport, infatti, è una grande scuola.
The Pope emphasized that it was important to accept defeat and work within the framework of the rules governing a particular discipline. When you face a competition, he said, you learn that rules are essential to live together, that happiness is not found in unruliness, but in pursuing your goals faithfully. And you also learn that you no longer feel free when you have no limits, but when, with your own limits, you give your best. We must be masters of our limits and not slaves to our limits.
Dobbiamo essere signori noi dei nostri limiti.
The Pope pointed out that sport is a tool that can be used for problem solving and to achieve a profound transformation of our society. He explained that it can foster a culture of dialogue and respectful encounters. The world we dream about, Pope Francis said, is one based on healthy competition, which always sees the opponent as a friend and a brother. He continued by saying that friendship and brotherhood was at the heart of the Christian vision of man. This Christian vision, Pope Francis underlined, means learning to look at others and things with the very eyes of Jesus, adding that from the gospel comes a more beautiful and just world, in which the diversity of others is not a reason for division, but for growth and mutual help. Concluding his remarks, Pope Francis encouraged those present to live this Christian spirit in the parishes where they work. The Pope urged them to be close to those who are weakest because of a disability, so that they may participate in the various activities together with others and never feel excluded. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. My thanks go to Mario Scatton in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.